Game time.
Time is now!
Driven by Briggs Auto Lane.
Let's have some fun. Let's go!
And BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Back here for hour two of the game. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner all with you. We will have Rob Cassidy on at 525, formerly at GoPowerCat.com, now recruiting analyst for Rivals.com. Been a while since we've had him on the show. Looking forward to that. He wrote a piece about the Big 12 having struggles in the recruiting world right now. It's not just this media perception that the Big 12 is down. That is leaking into recruits as well. So we're going to talk to him about that, plus the early signing period, which has changed, and Bill Snyder has voiced his displeasure with that. You can't be serious as well at 5:50. It's the lineup here for the second hour of the show. You can tweet us at the Game KMAN if you have questions or comments. The phone number, as always, 537-1350, or toll-free 866-776-1350. We've been monitoring the Corey Sutton situation, K-State now former wide receiver, more or less, who announced 4 weeks ago that he was going to transfer from K-State despite having a decent freshman season. Now with the Carlos Strickland transfer here to K-State, the emergence of Byron Pringle, Dominique Heath, there are a lot of receivers, a lot of mouths to feed there, so it made sense to me, anyway, as to why he would want to get out of there. And I don't think this is even the typical, you know, what people would think. Well, this kid's, you know, he doesn't want to deal with competition playing time. I mean, there are a ton of receivers here. He's pretty good. I completely understand his decision to leave. But he apparently now is frustrated with not being granted a release yet. He had a string of three tweets. One has since been deleted, but it was not, interestingly enough, the one that we thought was, you know, the one that's going to draw the most discussion here, the one that is the most
controversial
out there. I'm trying to think of another word, like inflammatory. That's what I was going for. He left the most inflammatory tweet, which was, "Can you stop being a slave master and give me my release?" The other one that's still up there right now is, "I worked way, way, way too hard for this to let a man stop me." We don't have the K-State side of the story. That's basically all that I know at this point. Kellis Robinette from the Wichita Eagle and Kansas City Star did tweet that he spoke with Corey Sutton and is going to have an article out shortly. So we'll find out more at least about Corey Sutton's side of the story there. But it is clear, just to recap here, with the way that he has gone about doing this, putting it out there in the public eye, that he is trying to put the pressure on K-State now to do something, because this is out there, especially after an article makes the Wichita Eagle and the Kansas City Star. It's going to become just a part of a public conversation here. And whether you agree with the way he has gone about doing this or not, whether you agree with K-State holding off on granting him a release or not, this is going to put more pressure on K-State by the mere fact that it is out there. You know, a lot of times college athletes don't have too much in the way of power or leverage in any kind of situation like this. I do think this is an example where a college player does have some form of leverage and something they can use to their advantage, and Corey Sutton has chosen that route to go that way.
It's a PR battle that you really cannot win if you're K-State. It's just a matter of how long does it go on, and therefore how badly do you lose it. And I think that we talked about a little bit in the first hour, the Letty Romero situation from a few years ago. One of the reasons that turned out so badly for K-State in the court of public opinion was because of how long it went on for. You had this drawn out over a couple of weeks. You had outside the lines appearances by John Curry, and you had Jay Billis that took to Twitter and social media to rile people up. And so if you're K-State, I mean, we still don't have a lot of the details here, but regardless of what the details are, the situation needs to be addressed on a shorter time frame, a shorter timeline than what we saw a few years ago, if K-State hopes to avoid another PR, I wouldn't say nightmare, but a spectacle that goes far further than what it probably needs to.
Maybe. We'll see if this would have the same kind of gravity that situation did, and I doubt that it's going to go down that road that far and get to that type of point. One thing I would say, too, though, about him going this route, which Letty Romero did at a point, opted to finally go that route, and it generated all that media attention, which probably is the reason that she wound up getting that release, although it took a while. You know, I think the student-athlete here has much less to lose by going public with this and trying to force the issue. I'm not sure that I still would have gone out there and said the phrase slave master. I mean, it's still very strong.
Yeah, that's
very
a very
strong,
very different thing.
But putting it out there in the public eye, I mean, maybe the thought process is the more attention you draw to it, the better chance there is something actually happens. But from his perspective, there's not a ton to lose. I mean, he's already said, hey, I want out here. He knows that once attention starts coming to it, the average person is likely going to side with the student athlete here. You know, there's been such a push for the student athletes getting the short end of the stick and everything, people wanting student athletes to be paid. And to be honest with you, I tend to side with that. I'm not going to formulate an opinion based on this individual situation just because I don't think it's fair, because I don't know exactly what's happening with all of this. But a lot of people, there's this big push to say, hey, this student athlete needs a little bit more power here. So I think he has less to lose by understanding that the public opinion probably will be on his side there. Like, what's the big deal? Grant him a release. And, you know, worst case scenario, he just has to go JUCO or something like that if K-State really doesn't grant him a release. But just with K-State and everything we saw happen with Letty Romero and the court of public opinion, there's more there for the university as an entity, I think, to lose here than just the individual student athlete.
And the issue here for K-State and how it pertains to the wording that he put in these tweets is it completely fans the flames to put in sensationalized terms like slave master. I mean, that is a term that is going to get a lot of attention, and it's going to get read a lot more than just an athlete complaining on Twitter about not getting their release. You know, you are drawing attention to it by putting that in there, and that's not a good thing for K-State, regardless of what you want to say about how unfair it may be toward Coach Bill Snyder or whoever that is about. We don't know for sure that he's talking directly about Coach Snyder. It could be a few different people, but it's going to get more attention because that is in there, and that means that the clock ticks a little bit faster if you're K-State to try to bury this and get it taken care of.
Well, we'll see. Kellis, I would imagine, would have a story up potentially by the time the show is done. If that does happen, we'll try and get it to you. Probably have to be in that 5:40 segment because Rob Cassidy will join us here in a little less than 10 minutes. And I mentioned the article that he wrote. It is called Perception of Big 12 Lagging in Recruits' Eyes. Came out late last week. I just got around to reading it today. It's one of those things that have been on my list for a little while, and I just now got around to reading it. But he had talked to quite a few Big 12 players at a St. Louis Rivals camp, or Big 12 region players. I say Big 12 players. Big 12 region recruits at a St. Louis Rivals camp, and got some of their thoughts on the Big 12 and where it's at right now. And I know this is a sensitive subject to a lot of us. I get annoyed with the just media rant, the media storyline that is out there about how dysfunctional the Big 12 is. I think it's exaggerated. But the fact of the matter is it's become such a thing, such a top-of-mind thing for everybody to think about the Big 12 that it has seeped into the recruiting world. There are stats that back this up. The Big 12 has signed just 4 5-star prospects the last 5 years, which is incredible, honestly, to me to read. And you think about Oklahoma and Texas, the programs in this conference, that's it. 4 5-star recruits in the last 5 years. That's probably a big reason why the Big 12 has not had very many kids drafted, which was a big issue this year with the American Athletic Conference coming in front of the conference there. I think if we wanted to branch off on a separate here, it would be, I know in Manhattan a lot of people fall into the stars don't matter camp. Stars do matter. Now, Bill Snyder's an anomaly when it comes to that. Stars matter. And the more talented players, according to Rivals, are going to find their way to the pros more often than not. But here's a quote from one player. I'll just read you some of the quotes because I think those are the most powerful here of what Rob Cassidy is trying to get across. Here's a quote from one recruit about the Big 12. Quote, I don't really think about the Big 12. I don't ever think about the Big 12, to be honest. That's not exactly a great ringing endorsement of the Big 12. Then there's one recruit. This is actually a receiver. I'll attribute this to Micah Jones, who is committed to Notre Dame. He is out of Illinois. He says, I don't think the Big 12 has fallen behind necessarily, but it takes a certain type of player to go there. Usually it's a place for a kid from the region that's a wide receiver that wants the ball a lot. It's a passing league. It's the place for that. It's just for a different type of player. So he's really saying, I mean, outside of quarterbacks and receivers, not the greatest option to go there if you're trying to play defense, if you are trying to be a running back. And I think there's truth to what he says about that.
It's a little bit cringeworthy if you're a Big 12 fan, as we are, because we've spent so much time trying to figure out exactly what the Big 12's issue is and if it is repairable and if it is actually a contributing factor to conference realignments and Oklahoma and Texas potentially wanting to leave the Big 12, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think that there is some truth to what they're saying there, where if you are in a different part of the country, there just isn't that outreach from the Big 12. You're not going to turn on your TV. Like, say you're living in North Carolina. Actually, I think you should give a lot of credit to what K-State's been able to do recruiting in the states of Georgia and Louisiana, because they're in different parts of the country. But say you're living in Georgia, you're not going to turn on your TV and ever see anything that has anything to do with the Big 12. You're going to see the SEC, obviously. You're going to see a lot more of the ACC and the Big Ten because they're a little bit closer to you regionally. And then if you see something from the West Coast, it's going to be from the really big market like Los Angeles, where you have USC and UCLA, or it might be from Oregon because of how big of a brand they are. But the Big 12 does not have a really high demand for big brands, and they just don't geographically reach out that far. And that makes it tough to sell to a recruit.
Here's another quote. They need to improve on the field overall. I mean, players here see the SEC, and then they see the Big 12. People see the championships. They see the players the SEC puts in the league. It's more about championships, though. We see the big SEC teams and the Big Ten teams playing for championships. They're not wrong. I mean, the Big 12 is the one conference that's been left out more often than anybody else in the college football playoffs so far. I mean, these are real problems that the Big 12 is going to have beyond just fighting the thought that's out there that the Big 12 is going to blow up here in the next 7 years before the grant of rights is up. If you want to have a better chance of keeping everything together, you want to make sure that the league as a whole is a good enough entity for Texas and Oklahoma to want to stick around. And if you're going to do that, some of that is on Texas, for instance, to get better. Some of that is on Oklahoma to continue to produce and be a good program, perhaps get to a national championship game for the first time in a little while as well. But it's also on everybody else to just lift up their game. It is one of those things that turns into a chicken or the egg situation. Did the Big 12 start recruiting poorly, or did the Big 12 start performing poorly and then the recruiting was bad? I mean, but at some point the cycle has to stop, and you're going to have to get this turned around as a league.
And the one team that actually has a geographic reach, West Virginia, you know, they've just been kind of an average football program over the last several years. That would be your one chance for someone on the East Coast to get exposed to some Big 12 football. They haven't held up their end of the bargain. Plus, the program that you may say is the quote-unquote sexiest in the Big 12, Texas Tech. Well, the Cliff Kingsbury experiment.
Texas Tech is the sexiest program in the Big 12.
That's what they were when they hired Cliff Kingsbury, but they're not. But they're not anymore.
Texas, Oklahoma.
No, absolutely not. No,
Oklahoma.
No, sexiest. No.
Texas Tech.
Yes, the guy with the program with Patrick Mahomes, yes.
When was
absolutely
the last time Texas Tech even won in 8 games? I mean,
that's exactly what I'm saying.
But they're not.
You just read the quote from the receiver about if you're a receiver, that might be the kind of conference for you. He's directly talking about Texas Tech. That's absolutely what he's talking about.
Boy, there is a lot to unpack there and all that is happening, right? Well, Oklahoma's the same way. They run a spread offense. They played a game with Texas Tech where they both scored a bazillion points. Oklahoma's a Texas Tech that actually wins a lot of
perception games.
Oklahoma's the biggest national brand, really, that the league has going on.
Yeah,
unless it's
yes,
Texas. Texas and Oklahoma are consistently out-recruiting Texas Tech. I don't really see the basis for calling Texas Tech the sexiest team in the Big 12.
They are supposed to be, but they're not.
I don't know where to go with this, so let's talk with Rob Cassidy next on the game.